Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Michael Salisbury.
So last weekend we had the takes here. So if you missed out, and I'm going to say missed out on the takes, whether that was through our leadership time with them or whether that was on the Sunday service film on the tape, where our guest speakers last week at church, can I encourage you, jump on the website, get the podcast. Roman preached a cracking message last week, and it's really been really great this week hearing some of the stuff that God started in people's lives. Whether that was reminding them of how much God loves them, whether that was for the first time ever experiencing the Holy Spirit, whether that was a significant word of knowledge over your life and it's given you some really clear direction, or it was an answer for something that you've been wrestling with, or some instruction and some guidance on where to go to. I just want to encourage you that that's just the start of what we're believing for, that God has in store for us this year. And I don't say that as words of just blind optimism. I say that because we have a heartfelt conviction that this year God is going to move significantly, not just in the life of our church, but within our community. We're excited and we're planning for the growth, and we're talking about what happens when just 50 new people just rock up one Sunday, and where we're going to sit them, and who's going to look after them, and all that really practical stuff. But we're believing God is going to do some really significant stuff in the life of this church, but also within our community this year. I'm quite excited that he's going to, from a Holy Spirit point of view, that he's just started what he wants to do this year. That the weekend and the prophetic stuff we saw, and the praying, and God moving through his Spirit, that's just the start of what we are going to experience this year. That it's not a manufactured thing, it's not a hyped up thing, it's the Holy Spirit moving and impacting on people's lives. And I think I want to encourage you guys that to be believing and be expecting that in your own life this year. That we should have a sense of expectancy about what God might want to do. We don't need to know what that looks like, but we should have an expectancy that God's not done with you yet. That you haven't experienced the fullness of God. That the Creator of the universe has only just begun to show you just the tiniest bit of what he can do. And we should be a little bit excited about that, and a little bit passionate about trying to experiencing that and doing what we need to do to see that happen. Because I think God's got all this great stuff for us, but then he also is going, okay, well, you stop sitting on your butt, you get off your butt, you do your bit, and then I'll come and do my bit. And my bit's spectacular. I was in my least favourite place in the world during the week, South Lane. Why people would voluntarily go to that place, I don't know. I don't step inside using the spirit of rage. So I was in there with Harry, and we were doing some shopping for Jesse's birthday tomorrow. And so we went to this store called Zing, which is like this weird like pop culture sort of store. It's just full of trinkety useless crap. And so it's full of like little bobblehead characters and posters and t-shirts. Like, it's the most useless shop in the world. But it had a whole bunch of stuff in there that Jessie's really excited about. It's okay, she's nine. And so Harry and I are in there, and we're waiting in line. And we're waiting in line for about 15 minutes to pay for our items. There's one person in the line in front of me who is a grown man. He's probably 35 or 40, and he's in the midst of a very intense discussion about the replica lightsaber he wants to buy. And him and the guy in the store are having this intense discussion around which scene from which movie he used this lightsaber in. And the guy's going, well, when I looked at the movie and now I look at this, the size of his fingers, I don't think the grooves are quite right. And they're having this, like... So I don't want to judge people. I really don't. But clearly, this guy was incredibly passionate about this. And so we all have our own passions, I get that. We all have things we're heavily invested into that might... Look, I'm sure if I was the one standing in the front of the queue and I was talking to this guy and the God, we're not judging us behind me. And he was listening to me talk about the fact that I go to church every week and I put 10% of my money in the bucket and I volunteer my time and all of that stuff. I'm sure when he got together with his lightsaber buddies and they were talking about it, he would go, there was this weird guy in front of me.
So I can see both sides of these things. So we're not to judge. But when this fully grown man decided he wanted to buy the toy, the guy in the shop said, "No worries, that'll be $385. And I laughed out loud. And then went pop and covered it up. But it made me realise, when you are passionate about something, when you love something, when you're invested in something and you believe something, you're willing to pay a great price for it. And I think God is the perfect example of this. His great love and great passion for you and me. And Jake talked about it at communion. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." And God paid the greatest price for you and for me. And as I was just praying through this morning and the message and stuff, I just really felt that there are people in this room that needed to be reminded of the value and the worth that God puts on you. That he would say in Ephesians 2:10, he would call you his masterpiece. And if the creator of the universe calls you his masterpiece, if he's willing to sacrifice his son so that you can experience life, if he puts that much worth on you, even though he knows everything you have done and said and thought, if he still puts that much worth on you, who are you to disagree with him? That if you have a wrestle in your life over your self-worth, with believing that you are of value, if you wrestle with shame, then I reckon God wants to give you a breakthrough today. So we're just going to pray right now. Lord, we thank you that you are our creator. We thank you, Lord God, that you know every single detail, who we are, things we've done, we've said, we've thought. And Lord God, you love us with an intense, passionate love. Lord God, I just pray right now for those people in this room who struggle with that, that you would just do something right now in their lives. Holy Spirit, you're at work right now in this room of people. That no longer will those thoughts in the back of their mind have power or control over them. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for your love. We thank you, Lord God, for breakthrough in people's lives. In your name we pray. Amen. If that's something for you that you wrestle with, we would love to be able to pray with you personally after the service, or speak to a life group leader. We have, if it's something that you have an ongoing challenge with, we have some great people we would recommend that could go and talk to professionally. We believe in the power of prayer, but we also believe that God equips people to be able to help you. So we have some great counsellors and stuff we would recommend as well. But don't live with that. Don't let that limit you, because that's not God's plan. God's plan is that there is freedom from that, that you should be able to experience joy, that you should have a revelation of how he thinks about you. And there should be a love and an acceptance for yourself in there. And I'm not talking about loving yourself like walking around, giving yourself a pat on the back, third person self-congratulating yourself, how fantastic am I? I'm just talking about knowing who you are in God, knowing what God thinks about you and the value and the worth that he puts in you. So I said one of the things, that the question I guess I want to ask as we've got a few moments around the word today is, what steps of faith is God calling you to take this year? I know for us as a church, we're going to launch into Vision Month throughout Feb, so we're going to be sharing what we believe that God's calling us as a church to be doing, the steps of faith that he's going to be asking us to take, because let's remember, the building isn't the step, it's a step. So once we get in there, I can only imagine the things that God is going to ask us to do, because the steps of faith only get bigger, right? So this is, well, I've seen big now in a year, 5, 10 years' time, that one will be like a little one, because God's asking us to do some massive stuff. You know, Anne's excited about the fact when we have our next building project, and we're coming and going, "Hey, so we've got a $1.1 million shortfall." We don't know. God's got a time. No, okay. It won't be like that anymore. I hope. But I want to challenge you on what areas is God calling you to step out his faith this year? Because I think it's an important question to ask, because it's good to know where we're going, right? We were camping over Christmas, and where we camp, it's
It's not like a big four, there's not lots of lights around, and it's just kind of grass and space, and we're on the beach, and there's sort of two toilet blocks, but there's no lights anywhere. So once it's dark, it's like really dark. It's spectacular. You can actually see the stars. And so on the second night that we were there, Holly decided that she needed to get to 2 a.m. She's going to love me telling this story while she's not here. Holly decided she needed to go to the toilet. So where we were camping was about 400 or 500 metres away from the toilet block. So she decided she would ride Jesse's bike there. So off she goes. The next thing I know, all I hear is, "I need some help." So get out of the camper trailer and get the light. And then she's got her foot covered in blood. And I'm very sympathetic, by the way. I said to her, "What happened?" She goes, "A caravan hit me." Because they're notorious caravans for jumping out. So I said, "So how did the caravan hit you?" She goes, "Well, I thought I'd ride the bike, and I started riding, and then the next thing I know, the caravan hit me." I said, "Did you have your eyes open while you were riding the bike?" She said, "I don't know. I was tired." So we've got to know where we're going, right? We can't spend our life, and we shouldn't spend our faith like that, not knowing where we're going. With no plan, no purpose. I think I'm always a big fan of the idea of spiritual disciplines, that although our faith is spectacular and amazing and wondrous, and I can't explain it because it's a God thing, that there is an element for us where we should be disciplined around our faith. And it's not very sexy, and it's not very exciting, and it's brick by brick, and line by line, and step by step, and it's doing the basic things. I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to spend some time in prayer, and think, I really want to hear from God. Well, cool, just sit and pray. Sit, create some space, read the Word, and do it not just once, or twice, or not do what everyone does, and get some New Year's resolutions, and after 5 days, you wonder why you haven't lost 20 kilo, or you haven't heard from God, so you just stop doing it, and going back to what you were always doing. I'm talking about discipline, where every day, on a daily basis, you're doing things. So I think it's important that we have some discipline, but then we also need to know where we're going, and we need to hear from God about that. And I just want to pull a couple of thoughts out of Joshua, because I think there's some really good stuff for us as a church. I think there's some good stuff for us as individuals in this. So in Joshua 1, Moses has died, and Joshua, who has served faithfully as his 2IC, is instilled as the leader, and God speaks to him and tells him to be strong and courageous. And it says in Joshua 1, God promises to stand with Joshua and instructs Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I will give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate them, turning either left or right. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything that is written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I mean, that's a great verse for spiritual discipline, right? Study the book, meditate on it day and night. God calls Joshua to be strong and courageous. And this is like the start of Joshua's journey as the leader. And pretty much straight away, he asks him to take some pretty significant steps of faith. And I like the fact that God prepares Joshua for the fact that there's going to be some challenges. Because we know when we start to take steps of faith, there's some opposition, there's some challenges, it's not comfortable, it's not always easy, it doesn't always go smoothly. And so God is preparing Joshua for the fact that at some point, you're going to have to choose to wimp it out, or you're going to have to choose to be strong and courageous. I'll be there regardless. You've just got to choose which way you respond and how you act on it. 1 Timothy 1:7, "For the Spirit," it says, "the Spirit of God doesn't make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline." So when we take steps of faith, we're also going to need to be courageous. We're going to need to make a choice at times whether we're going to wimp it out or whether we're going to keep stepping out in faith and trust that God has it. And that courage and that faith, that comes from God. He's not asking you to do it by himself. In Joshua 2, we see that Joshua sends two spies to look around Jericho. the spies meet Rahab, who hides them, and then they come back and they report to Joshua all that they've seen around Jericho. It's pretty cool. In 2:8, it says, "Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went to the roof to talk to them and said, 'I know the Lord has given you this land. We're all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. We've heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea. We know what you did to the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, with people you completely destroyed. Our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens, above the earth and below.'" So the spies come back to Joshua and report that everyone's terrified, and they say, "The Lord has given us this whole land, for the people in the land are terrified us." I think this is pretty cool for Joshua, because in Numbers, we see Moses send out 12 spies to the land of Canaan, and Joshua is one of those 12 spies, and they come back, and Caleb and Joshua report that we can do this. It looks overwhelming, but God's got it. And 10 of them convince the people that they can't do it. And so then a whole generation misses out on the promises of God, and they wander around in the wilderness, and they never got to experience the fullness of what God had for them because they wimped it out. But now Joshua finds himself in a position where he's sending out the spies, and they're coming back, and the stories that he was a part of when they beat those kings have now put terror into the hearts of the people that they're going to. And it's like God has already gone before them with the stuff that he has done. And these people are ready to almost give up. And so Joshua's there, and the spies come back, and the spies report that God's got it. God has already struck terror into these people's hearts. We can do this. Now Joshua finds himself in a position where he gets to decide what sort of steps that we're going to take. So this is where we get to chapter 3. And there's heaps of really cool stuff in chapter 3, but it's all around believing, hearing from God, believing what he says, and then actioning it out. So let's quickly read it, and we'll pull a couple of things out of it. "Early the next morning, Joshua and all of the Israelites arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went throughout the camp, giving these instructions. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your position and follow them. Since you've never travelled this way before, they will guide you. Stay half a mile behind and keep a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer." And Joshua told the people, "Purify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you." In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, "Lift the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river." And so they started out and went ahead of the people. And the Lord told Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there." So Joshua told the Israelites, he said, "Come and listen to what the Lord your God has said. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out all of the people from this land. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. A priest will carry the Ark of the Lord, and the Lord of the earth will go before us. As soon as the priest's feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall." So the people left their camp to cross Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing at banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away towards a town called Adam. And the water that was below flowed out into the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed to the town near Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the entire nation of Israel had crossed on dry ground. So I'm believing that God is calling us as a church to take significant steps of faith. I believe that he wants to instill in us, challenge us, encourage us as individuals that we will be called upon to take steps of faith. And you get to choose whether you do that or not. It's a you and God thing. But I've got a couple of really easy thoughts for you around those steps of faith. Coming out of those three chapters. The first one is prepare yourself. That Joshua is instructed to meditate on the scriptures day and night. To know them, to live them, to have them written in his heart. And I would challenge and encourage all of us that we should be prepared. We know what that looks like. We know it's reading the Word, studying, we know it's praying, we know it's trying to become more Christ-like, getting rid of the things that hold us back from God, getting more of the good stuff in. That's the discipline side of us. Be prepared. So that when God does speak to you, you're ready. Hear from God. That would seem pretty simple, right? But sometimes that's pretty tough. Now, it doesn't talk about it here, but Joshua hears from God pretty clearly and pretty specifically. And I'm assuming that means that him and God are in pretty regular contact. And he's making space for God to speak to him. I mean, who's got one of the... could be me, you might want to know. But who's got one of those friends that whenever your phone rings and you look at their number, you can answer it like this: what do you want? Because the only time they call you is when they're moving house and they need a hand. Or they want to borrow something. Or, oh mate, do you reckon you could do me a favour? Let's not be that person, God. Let's not only go to him when we actually want something. What about going and just hanging out with him? Giving him an opportunity just to love on you and hear from you. So prepare yourself. Hear from God. Take the presence of God with you. So the Ark of the Covenant was where the physical, symbolic presence of God was living on the earth at the time. And they took the Ark of the Covenant with them. And we know that we now are in the New Testament, where the Holy Spirit lives. And so there's this tension for me when I go to explain this, where I know that God is everywhere. I know the presence of God is everywhere. Everywhere we go, God has gone before us. I understand all of that. When I say take the presence of God with you, invite God along for the journey. He's going whether you want him to or not. But why don't you invite him? Because sometimes I think we go to take these steps of faith and God's asking us to do something and we go to do it, but we don't actually ask him to come along. We're trying to do it in our own strength, with our own wisdom, with our own resources. And God's going, why would you do that by yourself? That wasn't a you thing, that was a me and you thing. So when we're talking about taking steps of faith, we're preparing ourselves, we're hearing from God, we're taking the presence of God with you, and then we actually have to take the step of faith. I really love in this story that it says that the river was overflowing and the priests had to step out and get their foot in the water before the water started moving. Like, that's pretty cool. Because it wouldn't have been that challenging if God had already parted the waters, right? But they actually had to step out. And I think that's pretty amazing. And the priests step out, and then people experience the miracle. And I was thinking about this, and I was going, for me, I need to make sure I'm stepping out in faith so that people around me can experience the miracle. That God's called me to take the step of faith, and maybe that's sharing my faith, maybe that's doing something else. I don't know what he's going to call me to do in those times. But as I take the step of faith and God moves, the ripple effect around me impacts so many people. God desires us to take these steps of faith, not just for us, but for the people around us. I also really love the fact that the riverbed is dry. Like, that's an abundant provision, right? Not only are we experiencing a miracle and we're walking through a river, our feet aren't even getting muddy. Like, thank you, God, that's a little bonus. God provides abundantly. I would caution us with that there is not always the instant response. Not every time we take a step of faith does God move immediately, or it's evident to us that he's moving immediately. Like, in this case, it's really neat, right? It's clear, foot in the water, sweet, off we go, we're going through. I don't know about you, but I've had times where I've taken a step and the water hasn't moved. I've taken another step and the water's still not moving. And not too long later, I'm in the middle of the river and I'm on my toes and the water's there. And I'm letting God know that now would be a great time. And he says, take one more step. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I'm here already. And he goes, I know, I'm watching. And then I take that step and then he moves, right? So it's not always instant, and it's not always neat, and we can't be completely prescriptive about this, because who are we to question God's timing or how he's going to move or when he's going to move? But there's a formula here, a biblical formula, that when we take a step of faith, God responds. And I believe he wants to speak to people today and just breathe life into your spirit and encourage you to be strong and courageous. That God wants to speak to you about what areas he might ask you to step out in faith on this year. And so we need to be prepared. We need to hear from God. Take the presence of God with you. And then let's take that step together as a church and then individually as well. I'm going to ask the band to come back up.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.